prospects for today are the defensive backs in the Draft Prospect Review. Welcome back to the Draft Prospect Review. I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Listen to Tom Casale, Paul Perullo, Andy Hart, and Brian Lowe talk about the defensive backs today, April 13th.
And thanks again, Laurie. We are back with the Draft Prospect Review for this Thursday. We are talking about defensive backs, always a hot topic when it comes to the draft, when it comes to free agency. With the Patriots already, I believe, three of their four free agent signings this offseason have been in the, or three of their five, I guess you would say, are in the defensive backfield. So we're talking about the draft now, and we're going to kick things off with cornerback. We've got Paul Perullo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale of Patriots Football Weekly. I'm Brian Lowe. And we're going to start out with Jimmy Williams of Virginia Tech and Ty Hill of Clemson. They are probably the two top-ranked cornerbacks. Let's start it off with you, Tom. What is your thought on who the number one guy is in this draft?
Well, I think as far as a pure cover corner, I think Ty Hill is the best in the draft. I think he goes after the ball well. He always turns his head, looks for the ball in the air, deflects a lot of passes, great speed. I love Jimmy Williams as a player, but this is where me and Andy disagree. I think he's more of a safety because he's a big hitter, he's physical, and I don't think he turns his hips that well in coverage for a corner, and I think he could struggle there. But the problem and the reason why Williams is slipping down draft boards is when teams brought this up to him at the combine about possibly playing safety, he totally dismissed it and wants to play corner.
Not the attitude you
I don't
want.
Like his edge. I mean, I know you need to have a little bit of cockiness at that position, you know, and there's been a lot of guys in this league that have done well with that. I don't like, I mean, to me, you have to wait until you do something before you kind of
wait until you get
come in there and say, no, I'm not going to be playing safety. I don't like, and he was a guy at Virginia Tech that was kind of controversial. I like
they
his
had a
size.
Gag order on him.
I like his size if he could play it, but I mean, I trust Tom, and you know, we'll listen to what Andy has to say about Williams as well. But the hip turn is a very big thing. We heard a lot about that with Tabucky Jones.
That's his one downside. That's the one I loved him. I think he can get past it. I think he makes a lot of plays.
Very
active,
talented guy.
Great
no
size. If he can play
player.
Corner, you have one of those corners that don't come along too often when you're talking about a guy who's 6'2", 220-ish. I mean, that's a big cornerback. I would be hesitant. I'm sure he can play safety. You know, there's no doubt in my mind because I think that's a step down in terms of how difficult it is to play.
Well, he played it 2 years
so
at Virginia Tech.
I'm not taking him as high if he's a safety for me because I don't think he's quite. You know what I mean? I value
but
corner
Andy,
higher.
Wouldn't you? If this guy said, "Sure, I'll play wherever you want," and then like you were the Rams and you selected him as a corner, and maybe he doesn't work out there, then you know, oh, I will have no problem switching him to safety.
Right.
That's where I think his attitude hurts him in the draft.
Right.
The other good thing is that he has two M's in his first name, unlike the former Red Sox manager who had only one.
Right.
So that's
probably
a positive for him.
And Ty Hill has an extra E,
unlike Ty Law. And Ty Warren.
This all means nothing.
This all means quite a bit.
I like Ty Hill.
Yeah, and he's a player that the Patriots have been showing some interest in lately.
You know what I liked about Ty Hill is he did everything. He did some blitzing, makes plays,
very active.
You're going back to the smaller, the 5'9", 180 kind of guy. But he's a playmaker and physical. You'll like this for his size. Very physical.
Doesn't mind sticking his nose in there against the run.
Reminded me a little bit, you know, in watching some of the draft tape last year, he showed up because Clemson had Justin Miller. Mm-hmm. And I think Miller's probably a little bit bigger than Ty Hill. But I just like the way they played. And I didn't get a chance to see Clemson an awful lot, but I did see them play against Boston College this past year, and he was one of those guys that you heard his name an awful lot during the course of the game. He shows up, and Jimmy Williams is like that too. I mean, Jimmy Williams is a great player. I mean, he was a great college player. I'm not trying to say that, you know, he stinks because he has all these things. I just would worry more about attitude wise. Now, another Virginia Tech guy who kind of had that edgy Deion Sanders attitude was D'Angelo Hall, and obviously he turned out all right.
But I think Andy would agree with me on this. As far as smoothness as a corner, Williams and Hall are totally...
Well, yes. The one question is kind of the tightness there, and I don't love that. And I think that's a byproduct maybe a little bit of just that he's big. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's tougher for those guys to do that sort of stuff than when you're 5'9".
Well, Ty Hill is a guy that the Patriots have expressed interest in. I think Richard Marshall, it can be agreed, is another guy. He's a Fresno State guy. They took James Sanders in the first round last year. There's, you know,
Logan Mankins in the first round last year.
Logan Mankins in the first round. James Sanders, also from Fresno State, later in the draft. And also the Belichick has a relationship with Pat Hill over at Fresno State. Is Richard Marshall a guy this team is seriously looking at, maybe even in the first round?
Oh, I think Richard Marshall is going in the first round. I think
he's definitely been on the rise.
Right. In my mind, the
we
most
did our
complete,
best to help that out.
Right. In my mind, the most complete corner in the draft.
The Patriots fans right now are very upset at Tom because he continues to write about Richard Marshall, and the fans seem to think that he is this sleeper that nobody knows about, and we're just causing attention.
Even though Kuiper's got him going to the Bears in the first round.
And you mentioned the Sanders.
Dollars
he stayed in contact with James Sanders all year long and has discussed, you know, met with the Patriots, but has also been in contact with Sanders quite a bit and discussed how he would fit in.
Right. Very physical, led the Bulldogs, Fresno State, in tackles last year. Big play guy, has three interception returns for touchdowns. Not as good in coverage as Ty Hill, but I think overall the best corner in the draft.
How about Alan Zamitis? He's a guy I know you guys wanted to
talk about.
I don't
like
him at all. I like him either.
I think I'll recuse myself on this one. I don't really, all that familiar with that name.
You know what I think about Penn State?
Thanks for the honesty.
I think Penn State had a lot of good college players that made up a great college defense. That's what I think about Penn State.
I think that's accurate. Another guy I fell out of love with, Kelly Jennings, Miami. He's kind of, you know, that second tier corner.
He used that phrase
on Tuesday. And you know what? I'm sad about that. I'm really sad. Are you okay?
What did I say?
On Tuesday, you said that you fell out of love with someone as well. I mean, are you all right?
I try to go in with a positive outlook when I watch the tape.
Sure.
And I forced them to make me downgrade him. And he deserved downgrading because he flat out can't play. He's poor in coverage, which I look for in my corners. The ability to cover.
It's like Bill says in his wide receivers, number one thing, the ability to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Defensive backs,
now, another guy
to cover, very high.
We've been doing this with a lot of positions here in referencing guys with potential return possibilities.
Yeah.
And I've seen Charles Gordon, Kansas, linked to the Patriots. Supposedly they've spent some time with him. Has some return possibilities, played a little offense for them, played corner. I think he stinks. I think he's slow. He's one of those.
This is who?
He's one of those. Charles Gordon.
Charles Gordon. Okay.
He's one of those return men who you wonder, how is he a return man? Because he's not fast enough. He's Kevin Falk-like in his return.
Speaking of stinks, let's move on to Ashton Yeboah.
I was just going to bring him up, and I knew that we were going to get some
This is not a strong group of cornerbacks, is what you guys are telling me. There's a couple of very good
players. Well, no, there's talent out there.
Very deep, but I think
you guys don't like any of them. So,
oh,
I mean,
well. Cromartie we haven't mentioned.
Okay. Cromartie I like, too. So
I think there's some good ones and there's some bad ones.
But Yeboah... Now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but in spring practice, they actually moved Ted Ginn Jr. over to corner to play some corner.
The wide receiver, yeah.
Yeah, so then Yeboah played during the season, but he got burnt so much that the weeks before the Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame, they actually had Ted Ginn back over on defense because that's how bad Yeboah's been playing at corner. Now all of a sudden he comes out and he's a first-round prospect.
Why is that? I mean, why?
I have no idea. You look at that defense.
I think the size and the speed are intriguing.
You watch the Ohio State defense. He's the guy getting beat. The only guy in that defense getting beat like a drum. Every other guy on that defense looks like a future Pro Bowler.
Yeah, the only thing I liked about him was he was relatively physical at the line of scrimmage. But again, I want my guys to be able to cover and be physical.
He's got good size and athleticism, and I think people look at him. And I don't want to trash Tabucky Jones with this, but I think people are looking at that kind of guy. It's like, wow, if you can get a guy that size to play that position. I mean, that's a revolutionary kind of player. Well,
I'd rather have the guy that can play.
There's a reason that a lot of cornerbacks are 5'9 and 5'10 because it's a very difficult position to play, and the flexibility, and we talk about the hip turn like we're all scouts here, but I think it's a pretty straightforward skill that you can kind of evaluate. Either a guy's locked and is too big and not quick and flexible enough, or he isn't. And most of those guys are smaller. And I think that's how they get away with it. The Patriots certainly have a roster full of smaller defensive backs, and I think for the most part they've played pretty well.
Well, one big guy who was very fluid in coverage that I saw was Cromartie for Florida State. Only one college start, but this guy made big play after big play there. He's one of those players that's always around to scoop up a fumble, get a deflected pass. He always looks up for the ball when it's in the air. And to me, that's the hardest thing for a corner to learn is when to look up and locate the ball, and he does a very good job at that.
And I'm not even sure you can learn it. It almost seems it's one of those things
instinct.
That's an instinct. Either you have it or you don't. And there's a lot of guys that try to play without it, and it gets hard, especially at the NFL level.
Well, do you guys think, I think on previous podcasts we were talking about running backs, and we all agreed the Patriots won't take a running back in the first round. I think we talked about linebackers and sort of agreed that they very well could. Cornerback, what do you guys think at this point, April 13th, do the Patriots go cornerback in the first round?
I think there's a chance. I think if they believe that one of those guys, maybe a Marshall or a Hill, is a shutdown corner, there's a chance because, let's be honest, they don't have a shutdown corner on this team.
If you take a corner, he needs to be Ty Law. He can't be Asani Samuel, Randall Gay, Ellis Hobbs. He needs to be the guy that in 2 years you put him on the opponent's best receiver.
I agree.
And not that it means anything now, but don't put me in that camp that says they won't take a running back in the first round.
Okay.
I don't want to be linked to that. All right.
Just one quick sleeper, the Daniel Manning out of Abilene Christian has been moving up draft boards. He's a guy that a lot of people like. Very good return man, too.
Okay. I wanted
basketball, too.
Not yet. Okay.
Oh, no.
Not different Danny Manning?
Oh.
I wanted to, before we moved on to safeties, I did want to ask you guys of any sleepers that you think this team might be targeting later on in the draft. And that's one that you mentioned, Danny.
And DeMario Minter from Georgia.
Sure.
I liked that.
A guy I liked was D. Webb out of Florida. I haven't seen a lot of him, but press and tight coverage and good hands. A guy plays the ball when it's in the air. So I haven't heard a lot of publicity for him, but I liked his tape.
Okay. Well, let's move on to safeties. And we're going to start out with Michael Huff, a Texas guy. One of the top, maybe the top rated, probably the top rated safety, I think we'd agree, in this draft. What are your thoughts on Michael Huff? And is he worthy of a first round guy?
I think he's one of the top two or three defensive players in the draft. You talk about a guy that does everything and just has no holes in his game. He's got tremendous speed. He can play the deep center field safety. He can blitz. He can tackle. I compared him to Ed Reed. I feel this guy can do it all.
Right. He's a guy that he plays the secondary. You put him out there in the secondary somewhere.
He makes plays.
He's not a free safety. He's not a strong safety. He's not a corner. Just, you give him a role on a given week, and I think he can perform that role.
Seems to be kind of a blossoming position in NFL defenses. They get these guys like Polamalu and Ed Reed that you mentioned, Tom, and some other guys, even Roy Williams, even though I know you're not the biggest Roy Williams fan because
of
his tackle,
but
just guys that they can place all over the place. And Rodney does it here. Well, he has done it in the past, and hopefully he'll be able to do it in the future if the knee injury doesn't prevent him from doing it. But you put him at the line of scrimmage, you put him as an extra linebacker in run support, you blitz him, you have him in coverage, you have him, deep center field. The guys that can do everything at that position seem to be a kind of a revolutionary kind of way to go about playing defense. We saw Ed Reed be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, kind of, doing all of that with the Ravens a couple years ago. And that, a lot of people are talking about Huff in the same way.
And if you want to see Huff's speed, he was the guy spying who me and Andy believe is the best player in this draft, Reggie Bush, in the national championship game. That was one heck of a performance from a safety in that game.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. On the other side of the ledger, Darnell Bing.
Andy doesn't love, but
I don't love him. I'm not saying he's a surefire first-round pick. I think he has athleticism that could lead him
too.
To be
he's
a playmaker down the road.
Yeah.
He's a guy that if you can coach him, if you can get him to act, because he's a guy, if he goes back to USC, well, he's going to be a running back. Well, is he a running back? Is he a safety? What is he there for? Return man can do a lot of different things. But if you can get him to play like a safety, to play the position you're going to have him in, which I always have a problem with drafting a guy that early that I don't think has really performed in that position all that well. He has the raw ability. He can run. He can hit. He do all those things to be a playmaker.
Well, and Tom, much like we talked about with Ashton Yabody with cornerbacks, you see Darnell Bing as a projected possible first rounder who is just completely overrated.
And there's my problem because I don't feel he has instincts. I thought he played terrible in big games. We just talked about Huff. You watch the USC Texas game over. You want to see a bad game? Watch Bing. Now, if you take Darnell Bing in the third round, if I'm sitting here on draft day, I'm not going to go nuts because that's where I figure he should go, third, fourth round. But if you're talking about Darnell Bing at 21, that's laughable to me.
Well, do you expect him to go in the first round?
Hit or miss?
I think. Well, as Andy Hart told me, he's either going to be a Pro Bowler or a bust, and
that's how I feel about him. He has the raw talent to be a Pro Bowler.
He shouldn't be taken over from Mel Kiper. What great analogy right there! A
Pro Bowler or
a
bust.
I'm going to go on record right now saying the Patriots' first round pick will either be a Pro Bowler or a bust.
See, that's dumb because it could be Matt Light, and he could play for 10 years and just be.
I'm just going to follow that up right there, Tom, by saying the Patriots next year will either bounce back and win the Super Bowl or they won't.
See, back to you, Brian. The comparison would be they will either bounce back to the Super Bowl or win four games.
I think he could go late first, but you know what? He's actually slipping a little bit because he's around the fifth or sixth safety on a lot of people's boards right now. So I think you're going to see more of a second round Darnell Bing.
How about Dante?
I think that's a good pick.
Whitner, who like Bing is a junior coming out. Whitner from Ohio State.
He's going the other way. I love this guy. I would say just behind Huff, he's got the same type of player, speed. I think this is a a pure center field type safety, but you can also blitz. He made a ton of plays behind the backfield, tackles. Very impressive on tape. I love Dante Whitner. I think he's a guy, if Bill Belichick got his hands on someone like this or Nick Saban in Miami, they could turn this guy into a Pro Bowler in no time.
I didn't love Whitner, and the guy I fell in love with was Nebraska's Daniel Bullocks, and a guy I've actually seen linked to the Patriots on occasion as a potential pick for this team. I think he is a step below Michael Huff in that he can do almost everything. Probably not quite to the level of Huff, but, you know, run, physical, makes plays. He's a tackler, seems to have the instincts in terms of playing safety. So I think he's the total package.
Just to disagree with Andy slightly, I also like Bullocks. But I think when you compare Whitner and Bullocks, you're comparing two different kind of players.
Well, you are.
Whitner's kind of the Ed Reed safety, and I think Bullocks is more the Polamalu, Roy Williams safety, where when you get him close to the line of scrimmage, he dominates.
Right.
Yeah. Any other sleeper safeties that we're looking at later in the draft for the Patriots?
I like Anthony Smith out of Syracuse. Now, there is just an awful, awful football team, but Anthony Smith was all over the place making plays last year for them. And also Bernard Pollard from Purdue, watching him, he seemed like a type of guy that could come in here and be versatile and play in the Patriots system.
He's a big dude, 220-something pounds, so... He's a big, if you're looking for an at-the-line-of-scrimmage, big body, you know, a Rodney insurance policy type maybe, he could be a candidate. Well, Paul, anybody from Northeastern you want to throw out there?
No good safeties from Northeastern.
It's becoming
all
a podcast tradition.
Every position, we got to check.
E.J. Jackson.
We're not only the official podcast of the New England Patriots, we're the official podcast of promoting Northeastern
football.
See, Tom,
I think they're going to catch me off guard and not have anybody to talk about.
No, we know you will. Now, the Patriots...
No, we know you're a loser.
The Patriots' history in terms of defensive backs in the draft, they've taken one defensive back in the first day each of the last 3 years. Ellis Hobbs last year. They've taken Sanders in the fourth round last year. Back in 04, they took Gus Scott, a safety, in the third round. Dexter Reed, a safety, in the fourth round. So more than likely, the Patriots will go after a defensive back of some sort. If not the first round.
Guaranteed they'll take a defensive back.
They have four picks in the first day and then a ton in the second day. Mm-hmm. So we could probably expect there to be some young defensive backs.
Probably two. Maybe a safety
corner. Yeah, just to throw out there, you know, all these guys the Patriots are signing in the offseason, that doesn't mean they're going to make the team. They
got
to go through training camp like everybody else.
Of course. And really, none of their free agents are locks. I mean, Warfield maybe is the closest, but it's not like any of the guys that they take.
I agree with you. He may be the closest, he's not a lock.
Not a lock.
And I think that people get kind of clouded by that. They say, well, they won't do something because look what they did in free agency. Well, you know, when you go out and you give a guy, you know, $5 million up front in a five-year contract, well, yeah, that guy's guaranteed to make your team. The Patriots don't sign a lot of guys like that. And, you know, when Roosevelt Colvin signed as a free agent, he was guaranteed to make the team.
Right.
You know, but when Mel Mitchell signs as a free agent, he's got no guarantee.
And, Paul, just for the fans' sake, when they sign those two-year deals, they're really one-year deals, basically, aren't they?
Because sure.
Fans see a two-year deal, and they think, well, that means he's going to be here. But it's more a one-year deal.
That's for the team. So if the guy is any good and they like him, they control him for 2 years.
Right.
They don't. None of these guys are getting any money. I think Tabucky Jones got $1 million.
Right. These two-year deals are pretty low.
I don't know if that's been printed, but just in talking to some people, I haven't seen because I've been out, you know, the last couple of days, so I haven't really, seen anything in print. But $1 million is that. I mean, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
As long as you don't have any big signing bonus that's going to take up, cap space or give you a future cap hit with dead money, these guys are all replaceable.
Well, we're just about 2 weeks from the draft now. We are in the height of draft season. A couple things to remind you about. First of all, try your hand at the draft with the Patriots Football Weekly Mock Draft Contest and win Patriots gear. Just go to www.pfwonline.com right now and click the Mock Draft Contest link to participate. And on Patriots.com throughout this draft season, we've got audio clips of the prospects who are projected to go in the 2006 draft. You can find out all about these draft prospects at patriots.com/draft/2006, including audio clips. We are going to be back next week with more draft prospect reviews. We've got defensive linemen coming up on Tuesday. Also tomorrow, which is Friday, we'll have our roster report as we do every Friday with these Patriots podcasts. So that's going to do it for today, covering defensive backs. Thanks to Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. I'm Brian Lowe. Let's send it back over to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Remember to listen to the Ross Report podcast tomorrow and come back next time for the defensive line. Have a happy Easter, and thanks for listening.
time.